I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Breaking news in the Middle East. Iran accusing Israel of launching an airstrike in Syria today that killed at least four Iranian military advisors.
Two Navy SEALs who went missing on January 11th are now being classified as deceased, according to U.S. CENTCOM. The two went in the water off the coast of Somalia while they were boarding a ship carrying weapons bound for the Houthi group in Yemen.
U.S. forces hit Houthi targets in Yemen for the seventh time in 11 days. The strikes heading off attacks on American ships in the Red Sea.
As soon as I lift my hand from the Bible as your 47th president, I will seal the border, shut down the invasion of millions and millions of people coming into our country.
If you want to know what it was like growing up, I was disqualified from a beauty pageant because I wasn't white or black. So look, I know the hardships, the pain that come with racism.
Unfortunately for Nikki Haley, her voters in the polls at least, seem to measure the least enthusiasm for turning out.
I'd like to take time to congratulate Ron DeSantis. But as you know, he left the campaign trail today at 3 p.m. And in so doing, he was very gracious and he endorsed me. So I appreciate it.
I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign. It's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge. He has my endorsement because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear.
Will I be using the name Ron DeSanctimonious? I said, that name is officially retired.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily Live from Washington, D.C. Today is January 22nd, 2024, Anno Domini. Folks, what can I say? Ron DeSantis yesterday, in a surprise, though not really that much of a surprise, announcement declared that he is suspending his presidential campaign and he endorsed Donald J. Trump. There's a lot that can be said about this. I think the main thing I'll say, and I don't want to beleaguer the point, because it's been said, I said as much on X, but I'll say here on the program, because we're on the program, and that's why we do this. It didn't have to be this way. It didn't have to happen. We were always going to end up here. We were always going to get to this point. We didn't have to waste all this time. We didn't have to waste all this money. We've got a lot of work to do between now and November. So no more time for games, no more time for vanity projects, no more time for, what was this? $250 million. Torched. Completely torched. Money that could be going to Scott Pressler. Money that could be going to election harvesting, ballot harvesting. Money that could be going anywhere. Election integrity. Money that could be going with Mike Lindell and his efforts to get rid of these electronic voting machines. Simple question. But look, at the end of the day, we have a country to save. And so the most important thing, and possibly the most urgent thing for all of us to do going forward, is to gang up and bully the neocons. I'm telling you, I don't want a neocon to be able to walk down the street. I don't want a neocon to be able to show their face in public. So when Nikki Haley or Joe Biden or any one of these people, John Bolton, show their face, Dick Cheney, okay, I don't want any of them to be able to show their faces in public. You're in the wrong zip code, neocon. This neighborhood ain't big enough for the both of us. one of us is going to have to go, okay? Look, do we want to go back to the DC-controlled uniparty establishment? Or do we want to go forward with the populist, nationalist forces at our backs? The wind is in our sails. And the question is, are we going to tack into it together? Are we going to be the country that gives a blank check to regimes like this crooked regime in Ukraine, where they're already, by the way, talking about getting rid of their current military leader, and they want to hire this other guy who's never even been, a combat commander before, not a strategist? Do we want to be a military that goes around searching for adventures, blowing up the entire Middle East? Or do we want to become a country that's totally subservient to the globalist powers of the World Economic Forum, Brussels, and the WHO? It's all inextricably connected, folks. We can be a nation state once more, and that country is known as America. I think it's worth saving. Rich Barris jumps next. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Grew up in the hood. I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, we're back, Human Events Daily. Folks, I'd love to tell you about today's sponsor, Allegiance Gold. If you're part of the Human Events Daily audience, you're aware of the disaster that the Biden regime has made of the American retirement system. Overspending and overprinting of money are the two main reasons American retirement accounts have lost 25% over the past 3 years. Now, what does that mean? You're going to have to work a decade longer or come out of retirement just to recoup your losses. Well, thanks to Allegiance Gold, there's a way to stop the bleeding. Gold is a hedge against inflation and runs counter to the effects of Bidenomics. In less than 2 months, gold has risen to 14%, and believe me, I know the power of gold and what it can do for your family's future. Whether you prefer physical gold and silver or simply want to protect your IRA or 401k, I highly recommend the specialists at Allegiance Gold, who have the highest trust rating in the precious metals industry. You won't be disappointed. I know them. I've spent time with them. Their relationships are based on integrity, expertise, and impeccable service. Go to protectwithposo.com today and download my free wealth protection guide. It'll tell you everything you need to know about gold, or you can call 844-577-POSO. Protect your retirement with Allegiance Gold and get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying purchase. Call them today and begin your stress-free journey towards financial freedom. Go to protectwithposo.com. That's protectwithposo.com. Or call 844-577-POSO. All right, folks, we've got the great Richard Barris joining us now, the People's Pundit here. Rich, look, we knew that this day was going to come. We knew that this week was going to come. Let me ask you this quick question, because I don't want to beleaguer the point too much. But there's been this refrain coming that Trump only won because of the indictments. Have you heard this refrain out of some of the camp? And at the end of the day, look, I want to get together and go up against the neocons. But is that true? Did Trump only win this because of the indictments?
Yeah, as you know, is always the case with politics, Jack, and thanks for having me on. People look for like one simple explanation to explain the turn of events, how things happen. In politics, that is almost never the case. I don't know if there's anyone but me who had been tracking Republican primary voter sentiment throughout and during all of these periods enough to make a call about this. And the fact is, DeSantis first started to decline when he had the exchange with Tucker over the Ukraine issue, and he flip-flopped. And then that's when voters started to really pay attention. The indictments, was it just that, or was it how everyone reacted to them, Jack? Was it the fact that if you believed that they were political persecution and that they shouldn't stand in this country, would you have waged a campaign against them in the first place? So I don't subscribe to that. Look, the polls were pretty close when we came out of the 22 midterm elections. It's that one remained authentic and trustworthy, and the rest did not.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. The Tucker Ukraine thing is really where this started it. But yeah, now let's go forward because you were pulling it. Now, this I really wanted to get into, though, with you, because, look, at the end of the day, I want to gang up against the neocons. And if there's anything that the former DeSantis supporters can agree with us on, I would hope it's that we need to get the neocons out of control and out of power. And so, you know, look, I'll just go out and say this. I meant to say it at the beginning. I'll say it now. Look, we know the Veep stakes is on right now. It's been kind of a shadow campaign. There's a lot of shadow campaigns going on right now. Tim Scott, obviously interested in that position. Vivek Ramaswamy, obviously interested in that position. Ben Carson's name floated around a lot. I don't think you can have a serious discussion about a VP contender if you're not including the name Ron DeSantis right now. And I think it just stands to be said. I think it has to, his name has to be included. Though we know there's a lot of bridge mending that would need to go on between the camps before anything like that would happen. At the same time, I just say, you know, it seems like his name needs to be, you know, needs to be on the list. Needs to be on the list.
Yeah, I think Ron DeSantis would be more adverse to that, or he certainly expressed that he was in the beginning of this. And I do have to say this. Look, X, Twitter, they're real, but they're not really reflective or representative of the entire electorate. All right. So Ron DeSantis' supporters at large, and we've been polling them for a long time, we've asked them, what are you going to do if Ron's not the nominee? Just like we asked Biden supporters, just like we asked Trump supporters. And the truth is, if you were on X all day, you would think that there's this huge rift. That's not really the case. I've been putting up chart after chart. The vast majority, it's very normal compared to other primary elections that we've seen. Ted Cruz's supporters, even people like John Kasich's supporters, very normal. The difference has always been with Nikki Haley and Chris Christie supporters who aren't really Republicans. These are neocons trying to take control back of the party. And basically, they've been voting Democrat for a long time and pretending to be Republican. That's what the data suggests. You know, publicly, they pretend to be. But I think, you know, Ron DeSantis was the second choice for MAGA, for the, you know, the base. And his name is, you know, going to be included in maybe not VP, but attorney general, stuff like that. It's going to be floated. It has to. Like you said, any serious discussion about it, people are going to bring it up.
Well, yeah, I think it has to. And whether that pick makes sense or whether it's viable, that's not something
to
think
not.
About.
You know,
obviously, look, people even said back in 16, would Trump and Cruz do something together? And they ultimately didn't. But this certainly was a talking point.
Of course it was. And again, Trump's pick for VP is different this year. It's a tough call, Jack. It's a tough call. Because it better be somebody that the deep state fears just as much as Donald Trump, and not just the deep state, but the Republican establishment. If he picked, and it's not going to happen, but if he picked something that was more someone that was more ideologically aligned with, say, Nikki Haley, you could expect the McConnell wing of the party to try to wage some kind of internal coup, you know, and have them become the president, or worse, as we have talked about before, which I think is. I'm telling you, I'm really concerned about it. I am, and everyone should be as well.
No, I completely agree with you. I'm laughing because I'm reading the comments, and some of the comments are saying, "No, Jack, no Ron for VP. We'll not do it. I'm not going in for this, guys.
I'm not. Yeah,
I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying you have to have the discussion. You have to talk out the strategy there. Obviously, there's constitutional questions as well with both of them being in the state of Florida. Now, obviously, Trump could switch his residence to any of his numerous residences, and that would be perfectly fine. But you know, I and for the record, for the absolute record, my current vote is still for Rand Paul as VP, and I think Rand Paul is obviously someone the deep state absolutely hates.
Yeah, someone like that. His choice again is different. Usually, in modern politics, it's. The Veep stakes has been a question about regional balance, right? Because the LBJ era, when JFK picked LBJ, a Southerner from Texas when he was a New England liberal from Massachusetts. That's kind of like dominated our thought process as pundits and people who follow politics in this world. And I've never really thought that it was very credible argument anyway. LBJ is probably the strongest argument for that school of thought. But Trump's consideration this time is totally different than anything anyone has ever done. You can't make your base mad. You can't piss off your base. But you also have to make sure that you yourself are protected. Because if it's somebody that is not like you, somebody who doesn't share your vision, Mike Pence was the right pick, I would say, in 2016. He calmed people's fears about what Trump would be like when he governed traditional conservatives. But this is a totally different decision this time around.
By the way, one of the other names out there, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. A lot of people have been saying Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
And Lee Zeldin and Stefanik have been thrown around. And again, I see the comments when we discuss this too. It's not that anyone's like endorsing it or bringing it up, but these are the names that are going to be.
This is the difference of what Rich and I are saying. We are not saying these are our preferences, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is my current particular preference, but Rich, this is what you and I were saying about the primary in general.
It is.
You have to understand the strategic thinking, and you have to understand the strategic moves that you're making as to say what is the best move, not just what your particular preference might be.
So-called pundits and influencers, whatever you want to call them. Jack and I were just talking about this, folks. Somewhere along the line, all of these people, if they ever had their way, lost their way. And they've kind of like trained audiences that when we start to talk about things, people think immediately that's our preference or we're pushing it. You have to tell people what the room is like. You have to tell people that's your job. Your job is not to push preference. And unfortunately, this cycle, that's all of any of these people did, from Big Con, all on down the line. We all know the usual names, the usual suspects we've been talking about. You and I bash them on Twitter on a daily basis. But the audience should know we're just calling it how it is. We're just telling you what it is. These are the names people are going to walk up to Trump with. There are going to be people from all ends, from all sides of the spectrum who are going to have their preference that they're going to push. This is what's going to be whispered in his ear for the next couple of months. I mean, it's just not – or weeks. I think Trump – there's one thing we got to note here, Jack. This is 100% true. Trump has a way of surprising everyone. When he finally makes a decision, it's something that nobody was expecting. And even if they were, maybe it was kind of like tossed to the side. I favor this time – I don't know about you, my personal opinion. I think it's smarter for him to pick someone that is a – unconventional pick. I do, because he doesn't need anyone's support to win this thing in the traditional sense. He doesn't.
Wesley Hunt, Rich Parrish going for the big Wesley Hunt vote. Trump Hunt. Tucker, I kind of like this out. Wouldn't that be amazing? By the way, Wesley Hunt. We'll see. We will see, folks. By the way, for the record, I have heard that Lee Zeldin is not the pick. I know some people were saying that over the weekend. Not that he's not in the mix, but I have heard that that is not a done deal, the way some people have been claiming. We're ahead of Human Events Daily.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Folks, world's in flames. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster. But it cannot and it will not ruin my day. Do you know why? It's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. This coffee is 100% Americana. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping. They embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, folks, I love my Blackout Coffee. I've been trying the cinnamon one this weekend. It was fantastic. You're going to love it too. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Check out all great gear selections for the holiday gifts
while you're there. Of course, any other gifts that you want, Valentine's Day coming up, why not? Why not the gift of blackout coffee for your loved one this Valentine's Day? Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/POSO, promo code POSO20. All right, back with Rich Barris. We were chatting about the Veep Stakes, Ron DeSantis, Wesley Hunt, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Elise Stefanik, Lee Zeldin, a lot of the names that are being thrown around out there. But Rich, we've got a couple of polls that wanted to walk through the people with. And looking at this here, and this is Harvard Harris, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me what we're looking at.
So Harvard Harris, that's Mark Penn, by the way, co-polling, basically jointly polling. What you're seeing here with the Harvard Harris poll is a big deal. And I know it's a little on the screen, but basically, well, this is the primary. What I was actually thinking about, too, was people have what are you going to do? So it says Trump is there. It is. Thank you. I couldn't see the top. It's cut off. Trump is the runaway favorite in a prospective GOP primary. DeSantis is a distant second, followed by Haley. You know what I look at when I see this? I see the end of the consolidation argument and the argument by people who oppose Trump that there really is anywhere, any path forward for this party, Jack, without MAGA really holding the banner, being the standard bearer for the party. And DeSantis, I think at this point, too, he's hurt himself. He's got a lot of reputation building to do with the base. But, you know, this is basically more of what we've seen, more of the same. Once Trump won Iowa, momentum grows. I tried to explain this to people for a while. They're what we've called it for a long time. Primary physics, and they are just as real as, you know, the forces in nature that Newton observed in the natural world. There's momentum, and once you start with that momentum, unless somebody stops you or something stops you, you're going to continue to consolidate. And what we see in this Harvard Harris poll is now the sixth poll that shows Trump above 70 since he won the Iowa caucuses. You just can't read polls when you see Trump at 51 saying stupid things like, oh, that means 49% don't want Trump as the nominee. That's not how statistics works. That's not how elections work. It's not how the human mind works. I mean, I don't know how else to say this to people.
It's just amazing.
But it just kills that argument once and for all.
Now, Rich, I want to jump ahead if I can. Guys, you want to put up still five here. These are some really interesting questions. I can't believe that we haven't seen this in a major poll yet.
This is what I was going to leave with. Yeah.
But as far as I can say, Harvard Harris has asked the question, would you continue to vote for Donald Trump, essentially, even if he's been convicted? Walk us through the answers here.
So let me just preface the answer with me saying that we don't agree with asking questions like this. The same goes if Joe Biden was impeached because he took bribes from China. We live in a country that's polarized. People are not dumb. They know, it's kind of built and baked into the cake already. But what Harvard Harris is showing is that Trump is now at a point, much like a Wall Street Journal poll found a couple of weeks, months back at this point, it just doesn't hurt him. People believe that these are political prosecutions, even if they think maybe he did something wrong. It's just already baked into the cake, Jack. And presidential elections are A-B tests. I'm going to say this until the end of the cycle and beyond. But people will have to choose between the guy whose life was better when he was the president, their lives were better when he was the president, versus the guy whose lives they now suck. They're suck. Under him, and he's prosecuting his political opponent. So as damning as it sounds when you ask the question, people are going to think, well, this is my choice. And I either go back to the guy when my life was good, or I stay with the guy who was prosecuting that guy, and my life sucks. And that's going to be the way.
I mean, and you look at this, and so it's if Trump was convicted by a jury of his peers on the Mar-a-Lago case, so this classified document, 5347, Trump, the RICO, blah, 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 Georgia, 5149, Trump. This is interesting,
I think,
though.
That's because of the
if
word
he was
RICO,
convicted
by the
by
way.
A, probably, yeah. Because RICO, does, we it know, is, it's like gang, right? That's like gang, mafia, people. Sopranos, Giuliani, yeah. Five families, God. You know.
Yeah, the five families.
Gotti, right. If Donald Trump is convicted by a jury for for inciting the Capitol riots of January. By the way, convicted, listen to the questioning, convicted by a jury, convicted by a jury. Now, if I were to say convicted by a liberal jury, what if I were to say convicted by a DC jury? What if I were to say convicted by a jury of liberal DC activists, right? And so suddenly you're going to get different questions when it comes out of that. So yeah, the way they ask these questions is big. And even that one, okay, that one came out 48-52 over Jan 6. So that one had Biden slightly up, but even then, these are all within the margin of error.
Still 4 points better than their final 2020 poll, which was Biden plus 8. And so, you know, within the potential for him to carry the Electoral College anyway. I mean, Jack, here's the thing.
Right, and these are national polls, which isn't how we vote. So this has nothing to do with the Electoral College.
Right. And this is where you just said it, because this is what matters. How did they word that question? What is reality? Right. So is it going to happen in a vacuum and Trump is not going to appeal and call it a liberal tainted jury? Is Jack Smith not going to act the way he's been acting, and those filings are not going to be public for people to read? They would need a blackout like they pulled in 2020 when it came to the Hunter Biden laptop story. I'll tell you, I just don't think that's possible anymore. I don't think we live in that world. They got one crack at that kind of an election in 2020. I don't think they're going to get it again, Jack. And plus, I think that people are a little bit, they're hip to this now. They're just wise to it. It will not. And none of these, the truth is, none of these are likely to see a courtroom before the presidential election. And
well, Harvard Harris, I definitely like to tell them that it looks like that Georgia case is going to have a little bit of trouble for the last couple of days.
They forgot to add the affair with Fannie Willis in the question.
Yeah, you want to talk about RICO? You want to talk about some RICO? I got some RICO for you. It's called Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis.
Okay. Fannie.
What? By the way. I love how people still think that Trump is just lucky that he's able to, you know, that all of these things keep happening to his enemies when they don't realize that this is a guy who's got, I'm telling you, he has just got the momentum of the world at his back. I'm telling you, I'm a spiritual guy. What can I say? When I see the hand of God working through some of this stuff and exposing these demons for who they are, I just got to step back and say, look, miracles are real. All right. Miracles are real.
Everyone who comes at this guy is at risk of ending up in a far worse position that they started off before they came after him. Michael Avenatti, Michael Cohen. I mean, the list is just so long. Now Fannie Willis is being added to that. Jack Smith could have continued the rest of his life without everyone knowing what a hack prosecutor he is and his incredible record of deception and being completely rebuffed and rebuked by the Supreme Court. He's as bad as Andrew Weissman. I mean, he's been rebuked by the high court like that. Not too many federal prosecutors have been humiliated and chastised by the high court as badly as people like Jack Smith and Andrew Weissman. Now, Jack, I think he'll be, protected for the most part. But will his reputation ever be the same when this is over? Where is this going to end with Fannie Willis, what she did? And I'm not a lawyer, but I've talked to lawyer friends. Like, how serious is this? People told me, that 2 years ago they would never have expected something like this to be real, that this story be real. This is something you see in a TV show, Jack. This is
made not even a good TV show. This is just like bad writing. Like she didn't spend the money in the middle of the case on all these trips to Napa Valley and the Norwegian cruise. She wouldn't. Nobody's that stupid. Surely she would. No, she really did. By the way, over the weekend, I don't know if you saw it, because all of this is coming out from his wife, who is divorcing him over this affair. I can't even do it. The wife is divorcing Nathan Wade. She's going to Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis tried to get a restraining order on the divorced wife of her lover, who's one of the prosecutors on Trump right now.
The circus is in town.
It's so bad.
No wonder why there were a media, and for people who don't know this, but when she dropped this indictment, there were a lot of people in D.C. who thought it was the wrong call. And Jack Smith was rumored to have, been pissed that she kind of jumped the shark on this thing. Obviously, this was known. You cannot make this stuff up as if they were there, but they're so emboldened that they felt that they would be able to get away with this without people finding out or something. It's just insane that they're in that type or that position, that kind of level of privilege that they believe going forward with something like this, some novel attack against a former president and leading candidate for the presidency, and nobody was going to find this out or uncover this. This is how the hubris of it, Jack. You know, the extreme
hubris,
arrogance, and right, absolutely, absolutely. It's
Rich. We got about a minute left. We haven't talked New Hampshire at all. I kind of feel like the primary is over. But what's your call? I think Trump wins. What's the margin?
Yeah, he's going to romp it. You know, we had the UMass Lowell poll come out this morning. I know, I'm trying to be quick about this. They were the most accurate in 2016. However, they were tracking poll in 2016. They have Trump up by 16 points, but it was conducted from the 6th to the 16th. There has been very big movement since then. With DeSantis out, Trump's getting his voters at least 60-40, judging by the two polls that I have seen. And, you know, look, we went over this earlier today. This will not be a McCain-like comeback. McCain he won Republicans in New Hampshire. He won conservatives by 1 point, and he won independents. Nikki Haley has none of that. She's going to get blown out of the water.
Blown out. Bird brain is about to get eaten like KFC. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go follow the People's Pundit. Make sure you follow Rich Barris. Tony Schaefer joins us next because the world is still on fire and we need to do something about it.
Jack. Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzer.
What can you tell us about potential injuries to American troops in Iraq, and how will the U.S. respond to this latest attack?
Well, as we understand at this early hour on Sunday morning, it's only a very small number of U.S. troops that were affected. They're being seen for traumatic brain injuries with some symptoms of concussions, but no serious physical injuries other than that. Not that that's not serious enough. Of course it is. But we understand it's a small number and it's limited to traumatic brain injuries.
Just a few brain injuries. Just a couple Navy SEALs that apparently have been missing. Killed on station, killed on mission off the coast of Somalia, which really means off the coast of Yemen, by the way, in the Gulf of Aden. Tony Schaefer joins us next, Lieutenant Colonel Tony. I'm sorry, are these the people that are running our military right now?
Look, this is what you see and get when you have literally narcissists and sociopaths in charge. I mean, I'm appalled by the language that John Kirby just exhibited there. Yeah, what's a little traumatic brain injury between friends? Jack, this is exhibit one of why we can't get people to sign up. The idea of going in harm's way is not something that American members of the military fear. They fear being sent into harm's way with no belief that they're being used properly to achieve a victory. Right now, this is a game of narratives, and the Biden administration could care less who's injured, or if they're killed. And eventually, by the way, underreported here in North Carolina, where I'm at, there is an aviator who was severely wounded. So despite what John says, real people are being injured. It's just a matter of time before someone is reported as dead. I believe we've already had casualties. They're just not reporting them. But this is the arrogance and complete disregard for the well-being of those who are in uniform right now. They are seen as expendable to a political narrative, which in my view is not acceptable.
Well, that's exactly the case. And I've got friends that are deployed in the region right now. Don't want to say it more with more details than that. But, you know, when we're talking about this situation now, by the way, two Navy SEALs lost in the Gulf of Aden. We didn't even get a tweet about that from Joe right. Biden. We didn't get a statement. No. We're not even really clear what the mission was there. We don't even know if Joe Biden knows. Lloyd Austin's got some tweets up. I haven't seen proof of life in Lloyd Austin in all of 2024 yet. We don't even know if Lloyd Austin is around, this guy. Tony, that being said, when I look at the strategic picture of what's going on, when you talk about the Houthis, when you talk about these Shia-backed militia groups, it seems to me like what they're doing from, and I, of course, as a Navy guy, I'm always going to look at the waterways. It looks like what the Houthis have been able to do with these relatively cheap, and this is the connection, because it's all of these really cheap drones. I keep saying they're basically lawnmowers with bombs and wings attached to them, right? And they're firing them off across the Red Sea. They're firing them off at our bases. They're able to shut down our strategic lines, our strategic sea lines, very, very quickly. And we already know they've cut down traffic from the Red Sea 50% in doing so.
Right.
Why is it that our military and our government can't seem to do anything to respond to this?
It's a policy choice, Jack. They could. They don't. They don't because, as said by the Pentagon, one of the Pentagon spokesmen, I think it was today or yesterday, they know that the quote-unquote hand of Iran is behind all of this. Well, they choose not to cut off the hand. I mean, remember, President Trump was faced with a very similar situation of Iran trying to expand their attacks in Iraq. So what do they do? The moment that their leader, Soleimani, was on Iraq in Iraq, on Iraq soil, he killed him. We know for a fact that no matter how you feel about why we're there, if we are there, we are obligated to defend our troops and our equities. The Fifth Fleet's there, as you know. So it's the policy choice not to actually respond effectively to stop the Iranian hand from arming this. Remember, Jack, the Houthi went from guys with AK-47s riding around in Toyota 4x4s to using fairly sophisticated and inexpensive technology that's actually, as you said, effectively cut half of the shipping in the Red Sea, which is significant because it actually impacts on Europe more than us. Our allies across the board. It depletes our ally Egypt from revenue from the Suez Canal, which the shipping goes through. These are all things which are meant to essentially undermine our allies and give the Iranians carte blanche to continue to expand their influence and attack our forces across the board in the Middle East.
Right. And so we can see that this is very clear. Now, I do also have seen that the Saudis have come forward, because what we, and you and I have talked about this a lot in looking at the strategic picture of this area, that it's always been sort of about the, you know, the Arabs versus the Iranians, the Persians, which side is going to come out on top. And it seems as though the Iranians with the Houthis are pushing very, very hard. But now the Saudis are coming back, because the Saudis have floated, and MBS really have floated, a peace deal with Israel. Have you been able to look at that very much?
Right. Well, the peace deal is, I think, credible in that I think the Saudis are actually much closer aligned with the Israelis than they acknowledge, because they were moving forward with the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
If not for the 7th of October, Jack, I think we would have seen a formal agreement signed by the Saudis and the Israelis. So I think it's a positive step. With that said, the fundamental difference that we're in the middle of, again, it's like the song, "We Didn't Start the Fire," the Billy Joel song. The issue regarding Saudi and Iran goes back not so much regionally, but religiously. The Shia and Sunni. The Sunni are the Arabs. The Arabs, and they're the larger faction of Islam in the region. And the Persians are the Shia. That basis, that disagreement, that religious foundational disagreement goes back 1,000 plus years. So the fact is this: you have a theocracy in Iran who has decided that they are the chosen brand of Islam, and they're going to continue to prosecute their beliefs via action. That action is through terrorism and expansion of influence. That's what they're going to do. We know this. This is what they do. The Saudis have been aligned with us. I'm not judging it. I'm saying the Saudis have been our chosen ally. The Arabs have been our chosen ally. And the fact is this: the Biden administration has shown disregard for the Saudis' ability to fight the Houthi. They were actually fighting the Houthi under the Trump administration, effectively so, I might add. And it was the Biden administration who basically defunded the Saudi effort to bring stability to Iraq, to Yemen. And remember this, regarding that point, the legitimate government of Yemen was thrown out by the Houthi. The United Nations actually said the Saudis had a charter to restore the government, but they haven't. And nobody talks about this because the Biden administration's put a wet blanket on everything that benefits our allies and hides the fact that the Iranians are trying to do everything they can to essentially upend what we've had regarding the Abraham Accords and working in the Middle East to bring stability.
So the key then, I think, for them is it is going to be, and we know the Saudis have said this all in all, that they want Palestinian statehood. Now, Israel, I have to imagine that's going to be a hard line for them. But I did see a poll out of Haaretz.com. This is very interesting, though. A poll out of Haaretz.com did say a majority of Israelis would support some kind of demilitarized Palestinian state in Gaza. Of course, the ins and outs of how such a thing would occur, I'm not really sure how that would happen. But it was interesting to me to at least see get to the point where they'd said, look, we're okay with the two-state solution as long as that state, perhaps maybe it would be administered by the Saudis, something like that.
So, Jack, the sad truth is, since Arafat and I think it was Begin signed the agreement on the White House lawn with Carter, they've had a two-state solution. The Palestinians have chosen to not accept that. The Israelis, I think, were quite gracious and willing to allow a second state to exist. It de facto existed. That's why you have the East Bank and the Gaza Strip. They actually exist autonomously. So I think had things been demilitarized, had things continued to see a thriving society run by essentially those in charge of the Palestinian areas, you would have two states. Nobody would stop that. The issue is militarization and radicalization. That is the issue. So I think as much as the Biden administration continues to offer up this demand that they have a two-state solution, the Israelis cannot afford that. Again, I'd like to try to be as objective as I can, but simply put, we would never stand for West Virginia attacking Virginia constantly in our backyard if we were left with the idea of enforcing something that allowed our citizens to be attacked.
I think you're right. I couldn't agree more. Tony Schaefer, coming back with more after this. Human Events Daily.
Hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live. Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. We're with Tony Schaefer. So, Tony, getting back to this, the idea of a peace deal. So let's say this is something that Trump was obviously working on before he got out of office. Something that the Biden administration is completely blown apart by. One of the first things they did was completely destabilize the region. They took the Houthis off the terror list. Then they were working to get Iran tens of billions of dollars that they unfroze. Iran's used that money. We've seen now backfilling a lot of these groups. And of course we weren't tracking it because we weren't designated them, terrorists anymore. So now the question is, do you think there's any prospect? I hate to say this, but do you think that there's a prospect that the Saudi peace deal can even get off the ground without Trump back in office?
No, I don't think so. So let me break this down a little bit. I have to say this. I am not a neocon. I am not for leading with military action first and asking questions later. I'm not for the Bolton solution of going and bombing Iran. With that said, we have to be good neighbors. The Israelis are our allies, and I think we need to do things that will help benefit the long-term stability of the region. Is there some way to circle the square regarding a Palestinian state at this point? No, because unless you check those outside forces that allow for the most radical elements of the Palestinian people to arm up and attack the Israelis, you can't go in that direction. So I agree with the Israelis at this point. There's no way you can get there from here. With that said, I think there are larger regional partners like the Saudis who can be very helpful, who want to be helpful. And look, there's a hint here, Jack. None of those Arab nations were willing to entertain taking any of the Palestinians in after the 7th of October, because that was one of the things the Biden administration wanted to consider. They understand, like we do, the Palestinian people are radicalized, and until you deal with that directly, there's no two-state deal that's possible. And again, if a fundamental issue is one state refuses to accept the existence of the other, which is what the Palestinians have refused to do, there's no way to have two states. They're always going to be out to destroy you. So that's got to be the predicate that everything is based on, removing the idea that the Palestinians have the right to kill the Israelis, period. So that's where I think the policy should be focused on, is how do we do that? And again, our regional allies are better suited to do that than us. Joe Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, during the Trump administration, did something called buy with and through. We worked effectively with our allies, minimizing our exposure directly to hostile fire, that is American soldiers, and working with our regional partners. That's the way to go. That's the way that the Biden administration should go, but they are not. They're doing everything they can to benefit the Iranians for whatever reason, as you said, refunding their effort. Not only did they give them money back, they've actually taken sanctions off, allowing them to sell oil to the Chinese and others at great profit. So we have to get back to basics here. The Trump folks were doing it in the right way, working with partners, trying to create a neighborhood that would self-exist that we didn't have to be in the center of. And that effort to establish an effective neighborhood that everybody gets along in is not going to happen until Biden is out of office.
All right. And so what you're hearing from MBS now, there's this big call for a ceasefire. We do know, of course, that Israel has started to redeploy some of their troops out of Gaza, and they're putting them up into northern Israel because they're worried about flare-ups. That border extremely right. tense with Hezbollah right now. And, of course, any operations, and Tony, you and I have had that conversation before, those operations within Gaza, this is just some of the most densely populated urban warfare terrain on the entire planet.
Very difficult.
In Gaza City. Right. And so the idea that you're just going to send troops in there like you would in any other city, I mean, you're going to have with, as you say, the entire populace hostile, the entire populace against you. Look, this is why you're seeing Israel conduct these bombing runs, because they know that to send troops in there is an absolute hornet's nest, and they would basically, you would be seeing just massive, massive attrition. And so that's why you're then getting, look, they're able to blockade, they're able to bomb, but at the right. same time, they've got to worry about their borders. And Israel's military is not exactly as extensive as the United States military. That being said, we've got our own invasion to worry about.
We do.
When we talk about our borders.
Yeah. What do you think the next steps are,
though, for this Gaza situation? Do you think Israel will be willing to talk about something like that? And do you think the Saudis then, because it seems to me like what the Saudis are doing are offering them some leverage to say, look, we'll come in here and we'll make a play with the Palestinians.
I think the Saudis are sincere, and I think it's a good move. Again, I think that we would have seen normalization of relationships with the Saudis and Israelis a long time ago, if not for Iran and the Biden administration's stupidity. So I'm not against it. I think, as always, the devil's in the details. How do you do this without extending the Saudis' exposure to potential attacks? Remember, the Houthi is an Iranian proxy after them, and the Houthi are the ones trying to justify their actions in the Red Sea because of Gaza. So it's all related. So I think it's something that, again, we should work with our regional allies to find a solution. It should not be us. It should not be us. We should be helpful and help others find those who live there find a path to stability. So at this point, I don't see the Israelis being able to do anything more than take and hold terrain and do what's necessary to secure the Gaza Strip and then obviously protect their northern border. By the way, they've been doing what Trump did. They actually took out several Iranian leaders. They took out a leader from the IRGC recently. They took out a leader of Hamas who was hanging out in Lebanon. These are the things which I think will get the Iranians' attention to back them off and buy some time. But I think the Saudis should be given a chance to work with the Israelis on this.
Well, I would certainly hope that, you know, we could get to some situation like that. And by the way, if the Saudis can broker a peace deal between Israel and Gaza, then wouldn't it be nice if we could see some peace deals between Ukraine and Russia before that thing goes sideways?
I agree.
Because we know at this point that, you know, and we'll have to get you on later in the week or maybe next to talk about this, because it seems like it really looks to me like if you look at some of the things that happened in Avdiivka over the last weekend, that the Ukrainian lines look like they're in absolute danger of collapse.
Oh, they are. And Jack, think about this. Think about how the Biden administration is pushing for a ceasefire and negotiation with the Israelis, but they're not doing that with the Russians and Ukrainians.
Of course not. Tony Schaefer, just last few minutes of the show, where can people follow you? Where can they get all your updates?
He's spooky on Twitter. We follow each other. Just tweeted you, and then, or X, whatever they call it, and then projectsentinel.net or .com. So always a pleasure, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. And by the way, shout out to the X chat. Shout out to the Rumble chats. See you guys all in there. Producer Foz rocking around. Put your questions, comments in. We will get them back to you. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission. Later.